Let's pray as we get going. God, I thank you so much for this morning. God, it's not about any wisdom that Bob and I have. It's about what you have to give each one of us. And so we open our hearts up, and we ask you to fill our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you can relate to feeling like everything is crashing in on you? You've got tons running through your mind, tons to do, not enough time to do it, tons of pressure on you, and you feel like you're kind of in the middle of that circle, and there's like more things than you can count, like pushing in on you from all sides. So I felt like that actually not too long ago, it's probably less than a week ago, and I was riding my bicycle, actually, when I felt like that, home from here, and I was thinking about all the stuff I had to do, and it seemed like there's just not enough time, and there's this and this and this and this and this. But I go to a small group here, which you guys should go to a small group. It's a good thing. So I go to a small group here. My small group had just been reading in 1 Peter together, and we do this thing where we write down what we're going to do about what we read in the Bible, which is also a good idea. And so I had just written, like, the next time I get anxious, I'm going to repeat a couple verses to myself, because I'd memorized a couple verses a long time ago about being stressed, and then I was stressed enough that I memorized them really well, but then I didn't use them for a long time. And so it doesn't, if some of you guys know this, it doesn't work if you don't work it, you know? And so, yeah. So on the way home on my bike, I remembered my small group. I remember what I'd written down. I thought, okay, so I got to say those verses. So on my bike, I said Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. So I said that, and then I just did what it said. It said, if you're stressed, ask God for help, and then thank God for something, and then you just trust him to give you peace. So I asked for help with as much of the stuff I could remember, and then I started thanking God. And it didn't take me very many blocks on my bicycle of thanking God to feel all that peace start to come over me. And then all that stuff I was really stressed about, like, a lot of it has worked out just fine, and none of it is like blown up in my face or anything, you know. And it was, I asked God for help, I thanked him, and then I just did my piece of it. So when we feel overwhelmed, sometimes having a different attitude can change everything. So Bob, why would you say it's real important? Or let me read this passage first. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of us. Here's the passage I read in its context, okay? So Philippians 4, verse 4, to back up just a little bit, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. So this verse says, no matter what you're going through, it might be something really hard, but he says there's a command here that you should find something to be joyful in God about, something to praise God for. And also it says, rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to come back to that in the Lord in a while, so hold on to that nugget. Verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Verse 6 is the one I read to you or said to you earlier. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition. Petition, you know, we normally think about signing something with a petition. But what that means is when you sign, it's because hundreds or thousands of people are asking for the same thing. Petition just means to ask a whole lot of times. So it says pray about it and then just keep asking about it. It says, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So anytime you ask God for something this week, try out the strategy here of ask for it. That's good. Take the things that you need. Ask for it. Anything that you're stressed about, the Bible says, you might as well pray about it. But then don't just ask for God's help. Also find something to thank God for in the midst of that situation. Then verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's an awesome promise that we have. So it's a really simple step of next time you're stressed, you pray about it, you thank God for something, and then God says, I'm going to give you my peace. Verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Most of us spend a lot of time trying to change our behaviors, but a lot of us don't ever consider changing the way we think. And here it says you can choose what you think about. and here's the stuff you should think about. It gives us a big list. It's a lot of things, but it's all positive things. So, Bob, why does the Bible tell us it's so important to choose positive over negative?
Right. Let me tell a couple of stories. So, the best man in my wedding was named Larry, our wedding, not just mine. Tony's in mine. And I was looking for Tony over there on the front row, but she's in the nursery because I have a grandson in the nursery and she's happy. So at any rate, his name was Larry. And Larry told me one time, he said, I had to go to the army before I learned that my first name wasn't stupid. And so he had a really rough and a coarse father who always told Larry he was stupid. Here's what was sad. When Larry became an adult, he was playing that tape in his mind, and he viewed himself as being stupid. He thought he was less, and you could see it in his actions. When he told me that, I said, I see, okay? So many of us have been told things as children, and we've had experiences as children, and we're like sponges. Children don't know how to differentiate the words that we say to them, and so we soak them up, and they become real to us. And they're like that tape player that keeps playing and playing and playing and playing, and we play those to ourselves. And it's one thing to have somebody on the outside say something to you, but it's something else when you on the inside agree with it and you say it to yourself. You see how negative that can be? Give me an option. I got my daughter, her husband, and mother-in-law up in the balcony there. My daughter has a wonderful thing that she does, and Ricky goes to bed early because he gets up really early and works hard working as a heavy equipment operator. But Becca has a routine for her boys. She has a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. This is her routine. She dims the lights. The 4-year-old Grayson is autistic, and so he has to deal with some sensory things toning down. And so they sit down and they read a book. Grant reads about trucks and dump trucks and excavators, except he calls excavators ecadors. And it's great. So, and then Grayson is into numbers and letters. So they read a book, and then they have their prayer time. And then after they have prayed, Becca does some affirmations with them. And so here they are. I am strong. I am brave. I am kind, I am sweet. Now we're gonna change sweet when they get older, all right? I just, those two big boys when they're 14 probably won't know what to say. I am sweet, but I am loving and I am loved. Now can you imagine getting that in your heart? In fact, I was asking Becca about it the other day, and Grayson was in his high chair. And the beauty was, as he was saying it in his autistic talk, he was saying, I am brave and I am kind. And it made my heart want to burst. So the idea is that we can, I see a bunch of kids in here today, we can say those things to our kids. We can have a routine with our kids and let them know how prized they are. But as an adult, if you've heard negative talk and you still want to play that tape in your mind, you can listen to the rest of our sermon. You can get an idea. I can talk to myself differently. I say all the time, you can't determine the cards you have been dealt, but once you know what's in your hand, you can choose how you're going to play those cards. And so you can choose this week to start saying different things about yourself to yourself. And Jake, you notice we had prayer and the Bible in it. We're not leaving the prayer and the Bible out. You let the Lord bring his power to bear and his word to bear in your life, and you begin to say different things, the things that God has to say about you. Okay? So why don't you take us a little further there, Jake?
Yeah. So a couple weeks ago, we were talking about loving our enemies, loving people that are really hard for us to get along with or even like. And if we turn this idea of thinking about whatever is noble, whatever is lovely, think about these positive things, and you're like, well, but you don't know this guy I work with or whatever. It's not very easy to have positive thoughts around her or around him. Well, we've got an awesome example from Diane. And Diane, if you will come up. Diane helped me preach a couple weeks ago. Yeah. And when her and I met, she shared so many good stories, and we didn't have time for all of them that week. But this one fit the sermon so well, I thought, well, we just got to get you back up here to tell us about it. So talk to us about a strategy you use to focus in on the positive when you're trying to have a better connection with somebody or be more loving.
Well, a good example would be when Joe and I first got married. I was a Christian for 8 years, and I knew later God had to prepare me for this superstar over here. So had to grow me up a little bit. But in the first part of our marriage, we were having a pretty hard time. I was pretty frustrated because often he would be angry. He would be very critical of me. He would be inconsistent. And I was really frustrated about that, ready to give up. And I learned from this little song that I heard years ago. It says, "You can talk about me any way you please, but I'm going to talk about you down on my knees." Well, yeah. Well, I learned to understand God's love. I learned in that process of 8 years, you don't go telling everybody your problems, and that is gossip when you badmouth people. God doesn't want us to do that, especially in a marriage. And so in my quiet time and saying, "God, I've got a problem here. I'm ready to give up. I don't know what to do." I happened to be listening to a tape from a pastor's wife who actually said what I was feeling. "Lord, I like this guy and I'm married to him, but I hate him. I don't know how to deal with that." So what she did was she felt led to write two lists. One of the bad things about him. Now, I'm not talking about other things when you say bad, when there's influence of all kinds of addictions in life. Those are bad things that need to be addressed, maybe counseling, maybe walking away. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about interaction and bad things that happen or the things that people say. So I wrote the bad list: inconsistent, angry a lot, critical, frustrated. And then I wrote the good things: passionate about the Lord, teachable, adventurous, loving, good dad, good provider, friendly with other people, great at work. And I started to write all the good lists. And then, just like what she suggested, I took the bad list and I ripped it up and I threw it away. And then I chose to focus on all the good things that he was. So with that, I learned that, you know, God's my boss. I've got to take care of the way he thinks about doing things first. Whatever's noble, whatever's pure, whatever's loving, to dwell on those things. And it creates a whole different attitude in me to realize I've got growing up to do too. You know, don't criticize the other person when you've got a log in your own eye and you're looking for the specks in your brother's eye. But it created an environment of growth and love and acceptance and respect that allowed greater things to happen in our own relationship, in our own life, as God was growing us both up. But also understanding that sometimes when you went to addiction, Zoe's to know Joe's past, when you start walking with the Lord and you're passionate about the Lord, what you normally go to run to addictions, now you're having to deal with deeper issues of your life that need to change. He wasn't running to those things anymore. He was running to God. And that environment changed a lot of things, right, Joe?
Awesome, Diane. So by focusing in on these positive sides of Joe, did that give space for him to grow in these other areas?
Absolutely.
Talk us through that. How did that change the dynamic between, if you were just focused on the negative, how did this change it? Like, how did it help him?
Well, the more I focused on the positive things, number one, you know, the Holy Spirit grieves when we're walking in sin. When we're already criticizing and doing all that talk about the other person or thinking that talk about the other person, he doesn't move the way we'd like it to move, like God to be able to move, because we're creating a bigger problem by not allowing that environment. And I remember one time I was ready to give up, and again, I brought before the Lord the situation, ready to leave, and I said, Lord, you got to do something, because I'm having a hard time here. I know you think you can't give me any more than I can handle, but I think you're thinking of me a whole lot higher than you think, than you should be. And this one time, he went to church without me, comes back. I didn't say anything, but I was ready to. Well, he comes back and says, I am so sorry. I went to pray for somebody, and God told me it was me I needed prayer for. Forgive me for treating you so badly. Forgive me for treating you so critically. Because I let God do the work and not me thinking I had to be the spiritual hammer on his head.
Yeah, amen.
Awesome, Diane. Thank you so much. We could stop the sermon right there. That is a lot of really good thoughts. You know, this idea, I'm not going to ignore that there's things in this person that's hard for me to handle. I'm going to lay it out there, but I'm going to lay it out to God, and I'm going to let it rest with God. And then I'm going to dwell on the things that are good in them and give encouragement to that and give space for God to kind of bring the hammer down, like she said, let God do the changing. So that's an incredible way to love other people, to say, I choose to think better. I choose to set myself up to be loving to them. A lot of us, we hear that idea, love your enemies, but we don't ever put any legs to it. We don't ever do anything about it. And you could go home today and make that list out that Diane was talking about somebody you know you're going to see a lot of. And make that list and do what she said, tear up the negative half and give that to God. Another thing that's really important, though, is, you know, we're called by Jesus to love other people like we love ourselves. Jesus says we're supposed to give our whole self to God, but then we're supposed to love other people as we love ourselves. Some of us, all we have for ourselves is the hate list of the negatives for ourselves. That's the one we carry around even about ourselves. So, Bob, how do we begin to change that for ourselves? How do we have a better image for ourselves?
Well, I'd like to suggest to you all that you apply to yourself similarly to what Rebecca does to her two boys. And kind of combined what Diane said, you've got a list of things that have been programmed into you just like it's a tape. And you play it over and over again. And it's about shame and blame and guilt and I didn't do this and I didn't do that and I should have been this. And you know, I shared in the earlier service, I worked out with a guy in the gym who, he weighed 255 and he had 8% body fat. And that is an incredible physique. And he was a big, strong, really athletic specimen. One night he came and sat in my office and he was crying and he was upset. And when big guys cry, you know something's going on. And he said, all I see myself is this fat 16-year-old boy. And so all of his accomplishments, all of where he had gone, didn't matter. The tape that he played was, I'm just this fat 16-year-old boy. And so some of you can relate, maybe not with that illustration, but similar way. How do you get beyond that? So, Diane, you said it so well. Take that negative and tear it in half. Throw it away. Now, it's easier said than done. It's going to take time. You don't do it like she did it really quick. It's day after day after day, okay? But then replace it with something. I'm going to give you some suggestions, but you'll find your own. Find you some Bible verses to put there and find some prayers to put there. Find some stuff. Take some time and replace those negatives with some positives. And then do like Rebecca does. Tell yourself every day, I am this, I am this, I am this. So let me give you some suggestions, okay? So number one is, I expect great things to happen today. What if you put that on your mirror when you got up and you brushed your teeth, or you put it on the dashboard of your car, or you put it near your lunchbox or something? I expect great things to happen today. Now, there's a quote that you may or may not be able to read, but I'm close enough to read. Let me read it for you. Real Christians revel in desperate ventures for Christ, expecting from God great things and attempting the same with exhilaration. I expect great things from God because I'm with a great God and He is leading me. Now, the man who wrote this is C.T. Studd, and you probably haven't heard about him, but let me tell you just a word or two about him. In the 1800s, this man was called to the mission field. And so he and his wife, they headed off to China and Africa and India, and they served their whole lives there. He expected great things from God to the extent that he gave away his entire inheritance. And so he had a fairly sizable inheritance, and that day they didn't have a mission board like our Baptist group where they paid your way. He had to raise funds, but that money was gone. He was trusting God for it. He gave a certain amount of that money to his wife, and she said, God can provide. She gave it away too. So expect great things from God. Give yourself to God and see what He'll do. Number two, I trust in God's plan for my life. Now, think with me for a moment. I'm the only guy in here that has envy, right? I'm the only one that looks at Frenchie, who's our police officer today, and he only weighs 300 pounds, heading down to 250 because he's a bodybuilder. Sorry, Frenchie, just picking on you, man. I can't even outrun the guy. Why am I doing this? But he was talking about doing repetitions with squats, and squats is where you put a bar on your back and you go up and down, just a mere 315, four sets times, you know, gee whiz, isn't that crazy? So, and then he followed that up with deadlifts and so on. I could be envious. I could be envious of people that can sing. I could be envious of people that have more money than I have. I could be envious of this or that. Y'all got the picture? And yet, who did God make me to be? He made me to be me. Old and bald. All right? And I can say to God, God, I trust you for your plan in my life. This is what you've made me to be. So when you get up in the morning, you can spend your time saying, I don't have this and I don't have that and I'm not this and I'm not that. Do like Diane, tear that in pieces and say, God, I trust that you made me just like you wanted me to be. I trust that. And we got a little autistic grandson who runs around our world. God, I trust you that you made him just like that. And you've got plans for him just like that. And you can just take it all the way through. Okay, fair enough. I'm getting too long, Jake. Speed me along. We'll just go through this. I accept all the love, joy, abundance, and success in my life.
I'm going to jump in on this one.
Go on, Jake.
I flew through it on the first service. So this morning, I knew what the sermon was going to be about, obviously, but my small group, you know, I'm doing this reading with my small group, and I was in Colossians 1, and it's talking about how because we have hope in Jesus, then that leads to faith and love in our lives for Jesus and for others. And I was thinking about hope, and then I knew Bob was going to be, or and I were going to be preaching on this, and I thought, you know, I should read over those things Bob's going to be talking about, because it's the morning. So I read over the whole list, and it was easy for me to say I expect great things today, because honestly, I'm coming to Maywood, and big stuff happens every Sunday here. So that was easy. And then to say I trust God plan with my life, honestly, that one wasn't hard for me either. But I read this one, and it just hit me. I feel like I was talking to the Holy Spirit right before this, you know, or like I was in touch with God, and I just realized, like, I have so much good stuff in my life, but accepting that as a gift from God instead of feeling like, oh, I don't deserve all this stuff. There's just this guilt or like shame core kind of in me that God was pointing out. That, you know, God's given me this incredible wife and all this other incredible stuff, and to be a pastor at Maywood and have Bob as my mentor. So you read over that, and it's powerful to just have that experience with God and say, God, I do accept all the stuff, and I just accept it as your child. So these things, like as you read them, maybe this one isn't maybe the one that's going to hit you as hard, but if you will come to God and say, God, I want to look at all the things you've put in me with your attitude, then, like, God can really, like, these are really powerful. So, anyways, throw that in there.
Thank you. Give him an amen. All right. So I don't want to get lost in telling my story. You have a story. And I want to ask you right now to think, when you think about yourself, is it like that one page that Diane tore up? It's all negative and it's bad and so on. Or are you able to think positively? And again, this is, I said in the early service, this is not Robert Schuller in the Crystal Cathedral or anybody else like that. This is, but under God, as you connect with God, can you say, God, this is who I am through you? All right? So let's get another one here, all right? I accept all the people who want to work with me and benefit from my gifts and love. Some of you all work with some folks that suck the life out of you, all right? And I talk to you from time to time. It's like, oh, man, I had to work with so-and-so today. All right, you know how that works? And this says, I accept those people who want to work with me because God knew I was going to be working with that guy or that lady or that customer or that person. He knew I was going to be working with them, and there's something he has in me for them. All right? So as you start your day, I mean, it is so easy to just, oh, man. I used to work in a warehouse, and there was a guy on Wednesdays. He was a salesman. Salesman was Pete's day. Pete would come in there, and he could suck the life out of the entire warehouse. I wish I knew that about 40 years ago, and I could have said, I'm going to be the most positive I can be. All right? So just leave that one there. One more. Every day I'm getting stronger, healthier, and better. Now, Jake's got something really good to say about this in just a moment, but I just want to say this. Some of us limit our physical being through the kind of talk we say. So I'm just an old man. You know, I've got arthritis. I have this problem or I have that problem. And I can dwell on that, and it is reality. Or I can say, I am today, by the power of God, getting stronger, healthier, and better. God is working in my life, and he is moving in my life, and he's taking me closer to health. So let me just stop at that and let Jake kind of finish up some stuff.
Yeah, so Lisa, who plays piano for us, she was helping put on a play up north that I got to go see. It was Willy Wonka, and they did a really good job with it, good production and everything, but there's this song in Willy Wonka, and as Bob and I were getting ready on the sermon, I was like, oh, man, this sermon cannot turn into that song, because what the song was about is like all these people like dancing with candy bars, like Marshall's doing back there. All these people dancing with candy bars talking about like the power of positive thinking, you know, and they're just like, it seemed like 1970s like Sesame Street or something like. And this is not what we're preaching about today. It's just sit on your couch with a big candy bar and say to yourself, I'm getting stronger, healthier, and better. Because you're just lying to yourself if you're just doing that. So what did we talk about today? If you remember way back when I was reading the verses, I said we're going to come back to that in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And then it talked about the Lord is near. Everything we talked about today, it only works through connection with God. So we've got this final picture for you today. I love it. I don't know if you can see the smile on this kid's face. You've seen it before probably, though, of a kid that's just having a ton of fun and not thinking about anything else. So that's a kid, let's say a kid and his dad, I'm not sure. But because this kid is in his father's arms and he's focused on his father, he's just full of joy. We have an opportunity to be like that every day. Every day this week, you can be in your heavenly father's arms and you can have joy. So that's the choice that we get. If you just say, I'm going to put a smile on my face by myself, I don't think it's going to work out well. But if you say, I'm going to spend time with God, and I'm going to choose to believe what the Bible says about me, I'm going to choose to believe what the Bible says about what Jesus has already done for me, that Jesus already died and paid for everything that I've done wrong, and it's dead. Everything bad is dead as soon as I accept Jesus. And that Jesus is already resurrected from the dead, and Jesus has already resurrected my soul. And then I'm going to live forever with him. And if I will accept that, then my temper problem or my lust problem or my addiction, like, I can say, like, that's dead with Jesus. And I'm going to live new with Jesus today. And I'm going to rejoice in that new life today. So you can choose that. And the stuff that we're saying, if you stand in a mirror and say these things, you might feel a little silly. I felt a little silly today pulling it up and reading it until I got to the spot where God really hit me and said, like, wow, Jake, you don't really believe that. And I let God talk to me about it. So start with Bob's list. If you didn't write notes, Bob can tell it to you again.
Well, the thing is, you get your own list.
And then, yeah.
You find the things that fit with you. So that's the point.
So the best things you can do, though, find some scripture. There's lots of really great scripture that says what God thinks about you. Find that and then believe it. So today we always end with a blessing. And I try to have these blessings be things that bless you as you put it into action. And so, because that's the only way these things matter, is if they get put into action. So that's what I'm going to pray over you guys right now as we finish. So, Jesus, I pray that all week long, every morning this week, each one of us would say these affirmations and let you speak to our hearts. And Jesus, I pray you would bless our mornings, our afternoons, and our nights with your peace, with your love. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.